Hi, everyone. Hope you had a great weekend. I'm Tony Chen, and this is Fish and Bits, a business and data podcast on the world of seafood. For most of us that work directly with the aquaculture industry, it's widely common belief that fish farming is the most efficient way to produce protein. But is that actually the truth? Today, we're going to zoom back out and take a look at the data behind that question, and specifically how the Coller FAIRR Index have consistently, year after year, scored aquaculture high on their list. This is the fifth iteration of their report, and for the fifth time in a row, a Norwegian salmon company has topped the list as the most sustainable protein producer in the world. The Coller FAIRR initiative was launched in 2015 as the first initiative of the Coller Foundation. On its website, they state that their mission is to build a global network of investors who are aware of the issues linked to intensive animal production and seek to minimize the risks within the broader food system. To achieve their mission, the organization tracks the performance of 60 publicly traded global agricultural companies and compares their performance across a number of ESG metrics. In this episode, I'm going to break down the history of FAIRR and dive into the findings of this year's reports. I'll explain why aquaculture companies continue to stay on top and how feed improvements in aquaculture will enable the industry to continue to stay on top moving forward. I think you're really going to enjoy this episode, so let's dive in. Before we talk about the results of the report, let me start by explaining the history behind the Coller FAIRR Index and some of the motivations behind the development of the benchmarking tool. The FAIRR Index, which stands for Farm Animal Investment Risk and Return, is the creation from the nonprofit Coller Foundation, and the goal of that organization is to fill a gap in the environmental, social, and governance, or ESG, investment sector. The organization identified that institutional investors were not equipped to understand the ESG risk and opportunities in the food sector, and specifically the issues associated with animal production. Their goal is to build an awareness of the most material risks and opportunities in the food sector across the whole investor community. They provide institutional investors with data, research, and tools that they need to minimize the risk within the broader food system. As of today, the organization claims that their investor network represents a total of $68 trillion of assets under management and includes a large span of funds, including pension funds, venture funds, and global banks. The foundation's founder, Jeremy Coller, is an extremely successful investor that has won numerous accolades in Europe's financial markets, and notes that the FAIRR initiative utilizes his experience as a chief investment officer to develop a different and unique approach to addressing ESG issues. The data the organization provides is targeted towards the investment and financial community and providing that unique market with the necessary data to understand the risks of the animal protein sector. When the world talks about ESG initiatives, the organization notes that typically a lot of focus gets placed on industries like energy, transportation, and manufacturing. But the truth is that farming actually emits more greenhouse gases than the entire transportation sector. It's also the number one cause of deforestation and the number one user of antibiotics and fresh water worldwide. Compared to many other organizations that are working on ESG challenges from many other angles, FAIRR has a unique focus on the institutional investor or Wall Street community and providing that sector with the necessary data to assess the risks of the companies in their portfolio. So how do they do it? Well, they've developed an index, and that index tracks the performance of 60 of the largest publicly traded global meat, dairy, and aquaculture companies across 10 total environmental, social, and governance themes that are aligned with the SDGs. Across these 60 companies, they represent a total of $522 billion in annual revenue and include some of the largest companies in the world of agriculture, such as Movie and Aquaculture, Tyson and Poultry, and Thai Union and Shrimp. For each company, FAIRR's methodology looks at 37 specific key performance indicators across 10 different risk and opportunity factors. those 10 categories are greenhouse gas emissions, forestation and biodiversity, water use and water scarcity, waste and pollution, antibiotics, animal welfare, employee working conditions, food safety, governance, and alternative proteins. For each of these categories, there are a number of metrics that are combined to provide a total score. For example, in the biodiversity category, you find a combination of KPIs such as certifications, feed ingredients, and sea lice management. They combine the scores of all these different categories together and come up with a total score that is used for the company. Now, what I find unique about their approach is the mission to look at protein production from a holistic global view. Instead of just ranking one sector, they are attempting to put all forms of animal agriculture onto the same playing field and to benchmark them against each other. With the differences in the farming methods as well as geographies, this is no easy task. And to account for some of these challenges, the group applies weighting to their metrics to account for the differences in geographic coverage as well as revenue correction on certain questions to adjust for companies where animal production may not be their only source of revenue. And for each of these scores, they are categorized into four categories, which are reflected as high, medium, or low risk, as well as best practice. So now that we've discussed how their process works, what have been the results? Well, the organization started publishing these numbers in 2018, and they are now on their fifth copy of this report. The inaugural report placed four salmon companies in the top five, with Mowi taking the top spot, and that pattern has pretty much repeated itself in each of the subsequent reports, with aquaculture companies from around the world taking high spots, and Norwegian companies taking home the coveted top spots. In this year's most recent report, the top three were all from Norway: Mowi, Lerøy, and Grieg. While it's obviously an achievement to perform well on this list, I think looking across the entire list, it's also quite a unique narrative for aquaculture as a whole. It's impressive that year after year, the same companies in the industry continues to win out, especially when you consider that all these companies on the list are publicly traded and are constantly jockeying for investments from companies represented in FAIRS membership. When you look at some of the breakdown of the categories behind the scores, it makes sense why aquaculture, and especially Norwegian salmon farmers, continues to score high. Comparatively to other animal industries, greenhouse gas emissions and deforestation are two categories that, just by nature of being in the water, lead to better scores. There are also categories such as sustainability governance and working conditions, which you would expect the salmon industry to perform well in, given the number of certifications, high adoption of technology, and workers' rights in a country like Norway. What may be more surprising, however, is that for the most part, aquaculture also scores extremely well in food safety, animal welfare, and biodiversity. Given many of the events that have continued to be seen in the salmon news these last couple months, comparatively to the other industries in this report, analysts at FAIR still continue to calculate that the aquaculture industry as a whole is doing pretty well. That said, it's not that FAIR just by default believes that aquaculture is the best solution for protein production. In addition to the overall scoring, they have engagements where they work specifically on challenges in each industry by breaking down the barriers between investors and the industry itself. For aquaculture, the organization has worked on two phases for this engagement, and they have identified five main areas as key issues for the industry. Those issues are biodiversity, the over-reliance on certifications, and alternative ingredients impasse, circularity challenges, and the use of processed animal protein. I'm not going to talk through all of them, but I will note a couple of interesting points that they mention in their reports. The first interesting point that they mention is an over-reliance on certifications. All types of agricultural companies are quick to point to certifications and how they showcase the sustainability of their products. But in this case with aquaculture, FAIR actually states that they believe the industry is over-reliant on them. They mention variability in the standards and the lack of accounting for all aspects of biodiversity as some of the challenges that they see. But the one that stuck out the most to me was their critique on the fact that many seafood certifications have been commercialized through a pay and display model. It works like this. Farms pay to receive a certification, while their performance at the time of an audit may meet the certification standard. If that performance for that particular farm drops below the standard, it then becomes a situation of loss of revenue for the certification body. This situation can potentially lead to complicated incentives that degrade the value of a certification over time. The second interesting point is their analysis on what they call the alternative ingredients impasse. Reading through the report, it's clear that the organization has concluded that of the challenges that aquaculture has, fish feed and the ingredients that go into it are the one topic that can improve the results of a number of the index's categories. In both phases of their engagements with the industry, their call to action for the companies has been for the companies to disclose target inclusion levels for use of alternative feeds moving into the future. They aren't suggesting that farms just go out there and use more algae oil or insect protein, but instead, their ask is for these publicly traded companies to project out their plans. But it doesn't seem like the companies have agreed to do that just yet. Why is that? Well, in the report, they point out three major barriers to the adoption of alternative feeds: the scale to produce alternative ingredients, the cost of those products, and the conviction for the viability of those products. And of these three, the important one to address is conviction. Without conviction over the value of these products, it's hard for these alternative ingredients to reach scale and/or cost. FAIR wants the alternative feed industry to have a clear market signals so that the companies working on these technologies will know that they have a customer base waiting when they do scale. And that's the reason as to why they're asking these companies to set targets. FAIR wants these farming companies to set a target and therefore enable the companies that can help lower the farmers' ESG risks to grow. But personally, I think they're missing a key point when it comes to asking the industry to set a signal. I think it's hard for companies to project these targets because there is no baseline to project from. Aquaculture, and salmon farming in particular, has a lack of information to know what the ideal target is. We've only raised 15 generations total in the history of salmon farming, and each generation could be viewed as a completely different operation: new equipment, different genetics, and different feeds. This leads to a gap in the knowledge of farming, and it's one that can only come with time and science. While it's hard to speed up the rate that salmon can grow, it's possible to speed up the science to find the answers. Take, for example, our team's work with Vera Maris to study the commercial benefit of different EPA and DHA levels, or fish oil levels, in fish feed. With the power of our anonymized farmer network, we were able to increase the number of fish studied from the most recent field research on the topic from 3,000 total fish to over 300 million. The data we processed and the results we found helps to give farmers a better idea of what commercial results they can expect for the choices that they make. And those insights help the industry gain conviction on many of the unknowns. Historically, you would need to trial a solution such as a new feeding ingredient, wait an entire generation to see if it works, and then decide if that benefit is worth the cost to scale up. Now, with the power of data intelligence and technology, you could do that in a much faster and efficient manner. But this approach can be used for more than just feed ingredients. There's a host of questions that the industry could be working on to improve the science and knowledge of the industry and continue to further grow that lead that aquaculture already has on other protein producers. Overall, I found that the FAIR Index is an extremely unique report that addresses specific challenges in individual sectors of animal production, but places those challenges in a much larger context of global agriculture. Furthermore, it's unique to see it from an investor's perspective, because the lens that the FAIR team is looking through to identify gaps is different than that of so many others. The goal of the report is to ensure that investors are educated about the companies that they are investing in, but wouldn't it be great if more of that funding was directed towards the seafood industry? What do you think? I'd love to hear your thoughts, and I'll expand on them next week. For our last episode of the year before the holidays, I'm going to discuss exactly how new innovations like AI and data intelligence can help the industry address many of the challenges that the FAIR report has pointed out. I hope that you'll join me for that and that you learned something new today. If you did, it would be really helpful if you left us a rating wherever you may be listening to this podcast. And I hope you have a great week. Thank you.